My friends, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, before we get into the topic at hand, I wanted to A, let you know that I'm planning on posting every day from now on, getting back to video podcasts, which is what I used to do if you look back at my older stuff. But before we do anything else, I wanted to let you all know that before we start on this topic about how women run the church, I want to give this disclaimer, and not to pander, but to just give you an understanding of what you're about to hear will probably offend you, but and it will probably make you question going to church at all. What I will challenge you to do is not react emotionally, but instead be open to the possibility that what you're about to hear is true, because it is. And it's also not exclusively my idea, even though I will interpret it through the lens that is uniquely my own. You might ask me, well, Austin, how could you say the church is run by men because it's mostly it's run by women but taught by men? And I say, well, that's a very good question. You might say, in the Bible and in Romans, it talks about how women are not supposed to teach in the church and how you look at most congregations and the pastor and elder staff of almost exclusively men. So how can I make the argument that women run the church? Well, I'm so glad you asked. First of all, it's not a bad thing necessarily that women run the church. I'm not even saying it's a good or bad thing. I'm saying it is the way it is. I'm saying it's the truth, whether you want to accept that or not. And here I'm going to give you a couple of reasons as to why that is the case and tie it into both secular and religious contexts. Number one reason why women run the church: women overwhelmingly go to churches more than men do, by the way, in case you didn't know that. And do you know why that is? Well, number one, the reason why they do that is because the church itself, and it's not just the Christians, by the way, that do this. All religions do this to an extent. The more organized they are, the more they do this. They are distributors of the blue pill. I came up with this months ago. If you look back at most of my older shows, which I don't expect people to do, that's why I'm mentioning it again. There are distributors of the blue pill. And when I'm in, say, blue pill, I'm going back to Matrix terminology, which is so 2018, I'm aware. But I'm trying to use symbolism so that you understand and you can kind of color code this message. Distributors of, so what is the blue pill? For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, I'll break it down for you. The blue pill is the idea of selling you a fantasy, not exposing reality. In the Matrix, which I have really only seen clips of, I know the gist more than anything else, the Matrix, blue stands for fantasy, red stands for reality. So when I say distributors of the blue pill, what I mean is they sell you a dream in the sense of they tell you what should be. You can break down fantasy versus reality of if someone uses this is what you should do, it's fantasy. Because if it was normal, you wouldn't use the word should. If they use the word is, like this is the way things are versus this is the way things should be, totally different conversation. Anybody who starts with the word, this is what life should be or could be, is selling you a dream. If someone doesn't use those two words, should or could, then they're giving you a more blatant reality check. The reason I say that women run the church is because women, and overall, overwhelmingly go to churches, one, number one. And number two reason why women run the church is they benefit the most from church. Now, what's interesting is a lot of women, especially more secular ones, they make the argument that, oh, well, it's overwhelmingly patriarchal, so therefore it benefits men and not women, which is 100% false. And I'll tell you why. Because we don't live to 100 years ago. We live in a world today where marriage overwhelmingly does not benefit men. Now, does other statistics out there that say that men live longer and whatnot? Yes. Does that mean that it benefits you overwhelmingly? The answer is no. And the reason I say no is because it works really well till it doesn't. The marriage laws in America are fair in the sense that they favor the person who makes more money, which could be the man or the woman, but overwhelmingly, we all know this, men are the ones who make the most money. And people will say that, oh, marriage is safer in the biblical context, which technically they are true. Here's the catch. The divorce is worse in the church than it is outside the church. Because, and I'll tell you why, anyone who's been in church knows that divorce is not supposed to happen, and overwhelmingly because you're so plugged in, the fallout's going to be worse for the man. And gentlemen, you might say, well, Austin, these are superficial things. No, my friend, they're not, and I'll tell you why. If you've ever read the book The Manipulated Man by Esther Vilar, which is a fantastic book, I recommend it, you will listen to this book and you will understand that women want men to teach in the church. Do you know why? Well, I'm so glad you asked. The reason they want men to teach in the church is because now they get plausible deniability. A woman's best friend is plausible deniability, which means they could say or do anything behind the scenes. You can't shoot the messenger. They're not the messenger, so they can't get shot. They want men to teach other men how to be simps and gumps, which, again, this conversation is so 2018, I'm aware, but I'm building this something else. I'm giving you the bare bones, basic 101 stuff because I don't assume everybody knows what I know. I think it's foolish for you to assume that everybody knows everything. Oh, yes, I know everything about all these terms and all this red pill stuff. I'm not saying this in any rage, by the way. If you're enraged by this, you're way behind. This should not make you mad, anything you've just heard. This is just a reality. It's not meant to make you angry. It's meant to expose to you the world you're living in, so that whether you be a man or a woman, so you then get to decide what you do with that. That's the whole premise of this show. My ideas are not meant to make you angry and hate anybody. This message is meant to educate you so you can then decide how you want to live your life. Whether you want to keep going to church or not. Whether you want to get married or not. Whether you want to date women or not. Whether you want to be celibate or not. All these things are up to you. And the only way you can make an educated decision in your life is to have knowledge. That's the only way to do it. Now, my friends, let's return to the topic at hand, shall we? When it comes down to the church is run overwhelmingly by women because women are the puppet masters of the church. They're the ones who enforce monogamy because monogamy doesn't really benefit anybody in the sense that I firmly believe this, by the way. I don't care how sinful this makes me. I don't care about any of that crap. We're in season two. I don't give a fuck about what anybody thinks when it comes to how you feel about what I say. Everything that I'm saying is true, and the reason that you're most likely going to react negatively to it is because you know it's true. Part of the reason why, despite the fact that people try to use the Bible to enforce monogamy, that it doesn't always work, is because women use men and men use women. People use each other all the time. In fact, it's one of the few things that I actually agree with that Karl Marx said, even though I hate communism. He said usury was the only currency, which I 100% agree with, by the way, to an extent. And he called bourgeoisie, the bourgeois marriage was very oppressive. Now, I'm not going to go that far. I think it's a sacrifice on both sides, if it works the way it's supposed to work, which again, we're going back to the shoulda, woulda, coulda conversation. But again, I have no issue with how things are supposed to work. No issue. If things work that way, all I'd be talking about day and night is how wonderful a marriage is and that you should do it. But unfortunately, my friends, you know as well as I do, that even if you get married, it's not a cherry. It's not a bowl of cherries. It's not perfect road. It's a lot of problems in marriages. There's a lot of problems in relationships. That's why podcasts like mine and a lot other ones that are a lot bigger have so many things to discuss and so much content to go through. It's because it never ends. People are so consumed with this type of content. They know that it resonates with them. They understand that people have needs and people are inherently fearful of being hurt. They're fearful, they're sad, they've been through some bullcrap, they don't know what to do, and they want answers. They want to know, hey, if I go to church, am I going to be safe? Hey, if I do this, am I going to be safe? And the answer, unfortunately, is no. You won't. Not necessarily. No one's ever safe. And I say this as somebody who... I broke up with my girlfriend who I'd had for over a year. And I'm still recovering from that. I didn't do it in a way I'm very proud of, but I did it because it hadn't been done. And as somebody who regularly engages in a fight against fear, you have to not make decisions in fear, despite the fact that I sometimes still very much do that. I really will challenge you to do better when it comes to not engaging in fear. I'm not peddling fear to you. I hope you realize that. By me telling you that the church is run by women, I'm not telling you not to go to church. I'm telling you as a man that when you get into the church, whether you grew up there or whether you are going there for the first time, understand that it is not the church of 1,000 years ago you see in documentaries. It is not the church of 100 years ago. You are dealing overwhelmingly with people who are not up to date. They've been married for 20 years. If they're in Gen X, or they're so far out of reality. It's run overwhelmingly by older millennials, Gen Xers, and boomers, who, even if it hit them in the face, will not accept the realities that Gen Z, younger millennials, Zoomers, Gen Alpha, nobody gets it. They don't want to accept it because in their minds, if only they follow the Andrew Wilson approach of enforcing monogamy, if only they follow these guys, these goofy guys in the manosphere, if only they follow the Bible, which was written 2,000 years ago, the New Testament, and sometimes 4,000 to 6,000, sometimes more, if you believe in the Old Testament, they want to take those prescriptions with no cultural pressure at all and give them to you as a prescription for your life. If only you believe in God, everything's going to work out for you. Well, I don't know if you've read the Bible recently, but most stuff doesn't work out for most people in the book at all. God is not Mr. Rogers. God is not your friend. I firmly do not believe that God is the so-called friend that everybody wants to make him out to be. I think there's part of it, sure. But even your friends, so-called, are going to put you in your place. They're going to call you out on your bullcrap, and they're not going to sit there and let you just do whatever the hell you want. A lot of people use religion as spiritual fire insurance. They don't use it as anything more than that. So when we talk about men being preyed upon in the church when it comes to, hey, just get married. Hey, just accept all this responsibility with no guardrails. Just go for it. Just take the prescription that worked 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, and just go for it. I can't co-sign that in good faith. I can't do it. Can it work for you? Yes. It works for some amazing people in my life. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm telling you, you are not set up in a system that is meant to really nurture you unless you really get into almost like cult level participation. And even then, all it takes is one day in the next 50 years and you're hosed. And a lot of people, they jump in with all this faith and no knowledge about life, about the other gender, about relationships, about sex, anything. That's the other part of the coin too, by the way. Women overwhelmingly come in the church with so much more sexual experience than most of you goofy ass men. That's a whole other thing too, by the way, in case you don't know. And that's a huge problem for divorce too. And divorce isn't even the worst thing, by the way. If you think divorce is bad, think about sexless marriages. Dudes who stick around for the kids. Women who just stick around because they get the rent paid or the mortgage paid. My friends, when we get to the churches run by women, you need to understand that when men basically tell other men to, quote, man up and just take, roll the dice on their future without, see, this is why I'm telling you it's run by women, because women put other women up on game. That's one thing women do really well, by the way. Ladies, you do a good job of teaching other women about men. Really good job. Men, we don't do a good job of that at all, especially in the church, especially. I have never gone to a men's group or a church service or a Bible study where the older men have sat down with the younger men and said, gents, let's have a serious conversation. You might think that these women are not, your so-called sisters in Christ are not out here being sluts, but some of them definitely are. And you need to understand that you need to be a dom in your marriage. You need to lead, not just lead in the ways of, I hold my Bible study every morning before I go to work. Nah, dude. No, you got to run your dom game permanently. You got to understand how to operate in your masculine, holding masculine frame, teaching by example, dominating during sex. When's the last time you heard men like talk like this in your church, if you go to church? When's the last time that they said, hey, you know what? When your wife's getting out of control, you got to listen to her, but you also got to know when you need to really, you know, hit that bottom. Nope. Never heard that. They are afraid to talk about sex, the sexual underworld, fantasies, fetishes, you name it. All these things exist. Just because you don't want to talk about it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist and it's not happening. That's not how it works. And that's the approach that a lot of people take in the church. Oh, if we don't talk about abortion, if we don't talk about sex before marriage, if we don't talk about calling people out and not even exposing them to shame them, but saying, look, we know y'all are out here participating in this and we need to prepare these men. Nope. A lot of y'all are goofy dudes who are trying to do what you think is the right thing to do when all you're doing is being led into the meat grinder. You're being led right into the utility shed. That is where you're going. You are not going to a loving marriage. You are going right to being used as a toy soldier with a battery in your back. Your wife running your house and you have no idea. Your wife settled for you. She didn't have genuine burning desire for you. I know you don't want to accept that, but that's the truth. If she has some dude who, in her past, as she talked about when she was dating you, she didn't love you. If she talked about how, oh, I went through this bad relationship and that bad relationship, and you're the first man to treat me with respect, that's not a flex. That means you're the cleanup guy. That means you are not the man she wanted. You are the man she settled for. And gents, I get this is going to offend you. Ladies, you need to be honest with these men. I know a lot of men don't have the stomach, but I'd like to think my audience has the stomach to handle these harsh realities that, you know, one of my favorite content creators who really, you know, put me on a better place in my life was Coach Greg Adams. He's a little more non-religious than I am, which that's his right. I get it. I understand his cynicism more than most. But one thing he said is men are in love and women are in business. But here's the thing about the business part. It's not that women are in it to finesse you and stuff like that. Only. That's definitely part of the game. But men and women finesse each other pretty regularly. The reason I say that, and I'm quoting him, is because you need to get down to business with that woman that you're talking to in your life. You need to know why she's dealing with you, whether you're married or not. You need to know why she's there. If she's there for the security, she's there for the money, you got to accept that. If she's there because you got the best Johnson in town, awesome. But I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 times, that's not the reason. I can guarantee you it's not. Also, the reason that I think that women run the church is because women overwhelmingly are the ones who are enforcing the rules in church. They're the ones who are the target audience because they're the ones that fill the pews. The pastors are pandering to them, not you as a man. They know that if they get enough women in their church, men will come, especially young women. Forget it. Anywhere where there are young, semi-attractive women, men are going to show up. People who have kids, they know they're going to show up. It's like a Taylor Swift concert. They know men are going to show up. Why? Because the girls will drag them there. That's what church is today. Women drag men to church. I have very few examples of men dragging women to church. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. I would love to hear this. Tell me I'm wrong. Gents, again, none of this, ladies and gentlemen, none of this is meant to trigger you, make you angry, make you resent anybody. This is all meant to educate you on what you're dealing with in your life. And to understand that there are not safe places out here. You can't escape reality. You can't escape the truth. And the only way you get through it is to embrace it. And understand, if you want to get married, go ahead. Roll that dice. But know that you're rolling the dice. If you want to ignore women altogether and go monk, go right ahead. If you want to practice what they did in the Old Testament, more of the polyamory, polygamy type of thing, legally, of course, I'm not telling you to break the law, then go and do that. Because in my opinion, a lot of these people who say that God, quote, tolerated it, I think that's garbage, personally. Polygamy is not only about sex. It's about providing for women. Most women want their own personal man. Most men are too broke to have their own woman. Most men are broke. And these broke dudes come out here and they want to tell you how to run game, tell you how to do all these stupid things, goofy things, instead of just bossing up. They don't want to do any of that. So the men who have a duty to provide for those who have not. That's a fact. So anybody who's trying to sit there and tell me that's not biblical, yeah, I don't believe that. And of course, you can cite whatever you want, but I'm just telling you what I think. I think you're full of crap, personally. Again, I think women did that because they don't want to share they don't want to share a man. Even though you're probably sharing that woman, by the way, whether you realize it or not. Hopefully you don't. Hopefully you're not, but overwhelmingly, that's what's going to happen. Whether it's her attention, her body, whatever. That's happening. Happened in the past. It's happening now. My friends, I know it's probably going to trigger some of you. But I'm not trying to trigger you. I'm trying to give you food for thought. I'm trying to make you understand that what you think is true is not. And maybe what you thought was false might possibly be true. Let me know what you think about anything that I've said today. Let me know. Until then, I'll talk to y'all next time. I'm out of here. Peace.